as if it's insignificant, had it's no meaning or no effect or impact. What we are doing changes lives for all eternity, for those who receive. Jesus can, he gave up his life, but he can't force people to take his life. And he's not trying to force. He's given everybody the opportunity. You may be seated. Father, thank you for this time that we have remaining. You may be seated. When we look at the body of Christ and see the state and condition of it, in some pockets, people are rejoicing and celebrating and, having a hallelujah good time in God. Some are not having such a good hallelujah good time. Some people are miserable, frustrated, hurting, as they say. A lot of us are hurting in the body of Christ. And, some have their slogans out there to minister, healing to the hurting, if you will. And that's good. Where we fall short of is who God intended us to be as the church. When we look in light of Scripture, and please, when I say read your Bible, I'm not just saying it because I don't have anything to say. I say it because it is vitally necessary for every believer so that we do understand what is expected of us as believers, as the church of the living God. Just living an everyday normal life the way we were living it either before Christ or living it according to the way we perceive things without going into the light of God's word, which lets us know not only what God expects of us, but gives us identity in Christ. We'll do ourselves a disservice. If we don't know that, we will do Christ a disservice. And, mind you, we may live the years of our lives. We may live to be old. We may not live to be that old. And one day we'll die. And because we believe in Jesus, we will go on and spend eternity with him. But it's the things that he wanted to accomplish in and through us. It's the things that he was prodding us to achieve for his great name's sake that we have to give an account before him. The Bible does say that while we pass the judgment that is coming upon the world and the wrath that is coming upon the world, and it is coming, it's coming to those who refuse to believe in Christ. In other words, Christ has been preached to them, but they refuse to respond to him, as well as those who don't know God. They too are going to be judged for their sins. But that judgment, that wrath that's coming upon the world, it passes over us. Paul said it plainly. He says, we as a church, he didn't say as a church, but we have not been appointed to wrath. The wrath passes over us because Christ is our Passover. Amen? And so while we won't have to deal with the wrath that is coming upon the world and then the destination that they will go to, we will still have to stand before God and give an account for the deeds that we did in the body. We don't go before the great white throne of judgment, but we do go before the judgment seat of Christ. That's for every believer. This is a place that I believe Jesus wants to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over much. And in this tabernacle right now, in every seat that is occupied by a soul, including those that are standing at the door or standing at the wall or, working the sound system or the children down here with the leaders that are working with them or those who are in the room back there, those who are taking care of things in the corner, those who are in that room taking care of their little ones, if there are some back there. We all have a part, and we all have to stand before God and give an account before Jesus at that judgment seat and give an account for the deeds that we do in the body. It's not a scare tactic. It's a living reality. And the thing of it is God wants to manifest his power in and through each and every one of us. And so there is not only power and potential, but there is just how can I best say this? There is greatness on the inside of you that is waiting to be loosed. Hallelujah. Amen. There's not a single person in this tabernacle right now that is a waste in God's eye. Do you understand what I mean by that? There's not a single person in here that God is sorry that you came into the saving knowledge of the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Everyone that is in this room, God has put something on the inside of you that's going to make him proud of you for what you accomplish. It's like the reason you were born again. You were born the first time, and the first time you were born had a destiny of hell. But when you got born again, your destination changed. You won't go to hell. You will now go into glory to spend eternity with Christ. And everything that we did to accomplish his will concerning our life in this earth is going to follow us, and there are going to be great rewards that will come along with it. We just don't want to be before Christ Jesus and have no rewards. I mean, I don't know about you, but I remember the days in elementary school where we would have those award ceremonies, and we'd be sitting in the chairs in the auditorium, and they would call, and they would have these little plastic trophies, whether it would be for sports, you know, because of flag football or baseball or basketball or something like that, and your team, you know, took first place, or you got second place, or whether you were, you know, in races and all, and you got the blue ribbon or the red ribbon or the yellow ribbon. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was an award ceremony, and many of us know what it's like to receive a reward. And when we do receive a reward, we feel good about ourselves and our accomplishments. Well, that system didn't come from the wisdom of man. That system came from the wisdom of God. And God is like, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to honor you for what you do for me in this earth. And trust me, he's given us ability and power, and, you know, he's just given us opportunity as well to display the greatness and the goodness that he's instilled in us. I was talking to Minister Killings just yesterday, and I love talking to him. I say it jokingly, but if it was possible, give me your brain. I'll use it in the arena of politics in that regards. It's not anything that we can't all achieve. He's just done things to achieve, and it's great, and it's awesome, and especially that he's saved. Hallelujah. His name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, it's like one of those that you're proud of, and it's not like you're not proud of everyone, but, you know, when you see him. And so in our conversation, he brought it up, because I had already been talking about it, but he brought it up, and he's like, at the meeting that we had, we didn't have it. It was a city council meeting. And again, I have to commend everybody that showed up and everybody in particular who got up and spoke, because everyone that spoke had something to say, and it displayed to me personally as a shepherd. It made me very proud. I was just, praise God. And you hear them get up there and say, I'm a member of Threshing Floor Tabernacle, and I'm not ashamed. I'm proud to say that I'm a member of Threshing Floor. That makes you feel good in a sense. But it was the content in which they spoke. It was how they related to the subject matter and how they spoke from their hearts. And it just registered. It hit to where even a scientist, I don't know whether this person was saved or not, but the scientist was moved by the compassion that was displayed by the people that spoke. It wasn't just being up there rambling, but dealing with the issue at hand. And even afterwards, when the mayor of the city said, well, you know, it was like a breaking point, because Minister Patton, when he came up there, the system just shut down. It was a time for you to smile and laugh. It did. It literally shut down. We had to wait. They had to take a break for about 5 or 10 minutes to get it back up again. But during that time, the mayor came to me and says, you know, we hear your points, but you're basically, you know, the way you guys are talking is dealing with, you know, the legality of it. And it's like, you know, but it's legal in California. And I'm like, no, the thing of it is you don't have to let this go on in this city. You still can say no to it. That's the point that we're making. We understand what they did, you know, and the voters did and all of that. And even, you know, chaos, confusion, and disorder. But it's like, you can still say no. And this is where we're coming from. But even as we were sharing, he highlighted one of the individuals that spoke. And the only reason I bring this up at this point in ours because you need to know not only the gift of God that's on the inside of you, but your ability to make a difference in society as well as in the kingdom. And if I mention name, it's not to make a person's head get puffed up or anything like that, but it was just the way the person came up and started articulating things and basically told them, I think you and you are up for re-election soon. I mean, you know how a pitcher has different pitches? Curveball, slider, fastball, knuckleball, and all of these other. I mean, that's what was coming at them, one after the other. And it's like, okay, what this person going to say? And one of them came up and said, you know, at the workshop, proposed a question to you. You said you were going to go research and do, you know, and find out something. Did you do that? No. You're supposed to did you? No. I mean, just throwing it right at them. And we need to do that as a church because these are the gatekeepers of the city. And one of them, I know, how shall I say this? I'll put it like this. If you were to ask them, many of them, if not all of them, would say that they believe in Christ. Okay? But nevertheless, they would not take a stand when they could have taken a stand. Not to rehash the meeting in and of itself, but what I was proud of is what came out of this house. Because there are, as you know, and we've said it before, you know, whether we're guilty of saying it, and it's not, you know, guilt or innocence, but, you know, whether we feel bad about it now or wish we hadn't said it or said it and we'll say it again, there are a lot of churches in each city. And we made statements like there's a church on every corner. So many churches, dot, dot, dot. And rightly so, there are many churches, but not every church is engaged in the arenas that we could be engaged in order to make a difference. Some of you have college degrees. And even with that college degree, you need to be doing something to glorify Jesus with it. You may not have a college degree. You may just, you know, you may just be a, I'll say it like this, not to belittle or diminish or demean, but you may just have a common job. You could be a custodian. You could be a secretary. You could be a clerk, if you will. But whatever you are, that position doesn't define who you are in the body of Christ. Neither does it have any bearing on what God has deposited in you to glorify him. In other words, some people may feel, well, I'm not educated, so I don't feel comfortable in going before people, or I don't think that I'm qualified to do a certain thing, or, you know, because I don't have this and I don't have that, then, you know, it's just like a woe is me. But it's like, no, the gift of God is on the inside of you. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew who it was speaking to you and that gift of God that he has, you would ask him for drink, because what he gives springs up into life-giving water, if you will. And so it doesn't matter whether you're highly educated or not highly educated. It doesn't matter whether you're a professional or you're just a clerical or you're custodial. It doesn't matter. God has put something in you that you can use to glorify him, and it'll take you further than anything you could accomplish in the natural in order to help you get to that place. I hope you understand what I mean. You don't have to have a degree in order to glorify God. You glorify him whether you have one or you don't have one. You glorify him whether you have a job or you don't have a job. You glorify him in whatever arena that he places you in. That sphere of influence that you have, if it's nobody but your children or your grandchildren, use it to glorify God. But that arena has to expand because there are many souls out there, and there are many that are right there where you are. One thing that I loved about being secularly employed while being saved, while having been saved, was the fact that I got a chance to meet people and talk to people and share with people that I normally wouldn't have gotten a chance to had it not been for secular employment. I met some different people and got a chance to share with them or pray with them. And as I shared with you before about Harold Shepherd, who's now in glory, he's not the only one, but it's one of those moving circumstances, moving situations that had I not been there, he may have perished and gone to hell, or the fact of how God will use you even in the workplace to where you become that lifeline for somebody to receive eternal life in Christ Jesus. On his deathbed, he didn't want his mother's prayers. He didn't want a priest to come in and give him his last rites. He got his card, the card that I gave him. He got that card, gave it to his son, said, call my buddy. He'll come and he'll see me. And that's what took place. And to this very day, he's in the presence of the angels. He's in the presence of God for the glory of God. So wherever you are, you're supposed to glorify God. And that's what you'll be accountable to Jesus for. We don't want to go out here and hide ourselves or think that, you know, we don't make a difference or we don't mean anything. Some people have that kind of a mindset. Well, you know, it's like the children of Israel when it was time to go out and spy out the land. 12 spies sent out, one from each tribe. 10 went out and saw the enemy. 10 went out and saw how little they were. And they came back saying, we were as grasshoppers in their eyes and in our own eyes. In other words, we can't take them. This is too big, too insurmountable. We might as well just stay where we are or go back to Egypt where we had it good. And God is like, no, I've said go conquer Canaan land. So for us, Canaan land is Antioch. Canaan land is Pittsburgh. Canaan land is Oakley. Canaan land is Brentwood. Canaan land is Contra Costa County. Canaan land is California. Canaan land is the United States of America. Canaan land is the world for us. And God is saying, go out and conquer it. How? By where you are, allowing the gift of God that is on the inside of you to come forth so that you are a light that shines in that dark place and not a chameleon that changes with its environment. What does that mean? When I come to church, I'm all on. But when I'm out there in the world, I blend in. You're not meant to blend in. You're meant to stand out. And some of you are so gifted. I kid you not. I tempted strongly to mention, but you're so gifted, but you minimize your giftedness. You allow everything else to get in the way of the gift of God that's on the inside of you. And so the gift of God gets smothered while you go on. And it's not like in what you're going on in is making you happy. It's not like it's making you complete or making you whole. You just decide to tolerate it. And the days of toleration are over. If we're going to make a difference in this world, if we're going to make a difference in this community, if we're going to see the glory of God, that day of tolerating where we've been for so long, and you're so gifted, and you know you have a gift. You know within you, you have something to glorify God with. And to do nothing with it, one day you have to stand before God. And I don't say that as a sign of judgment and condemnation, I say it as a living reality. Because I don't know about you, but thinking about those award ceremonies, if I didn't do anything, I could not expect anything. I mean, I would at least get a certificate for good behavior. Praise God. Yeah. But I loved it when it came to sports or some other thing that they you know, you it's like the competitiveness, who was the best and all. And when they called your name and you got up out of that seat, I mean, these were award ceremonies where parents weren't even invited. It was just a school award ceremony. And they call your name, and you go up there and get your trophy, or if you took first place in baseball, basketball, whatever, and you go up there and you get that plastic trophy. Anybody remember that? It was a plastic cup, like in trophy form, and, you know, it may have had your name on it, but then again, it may not have had your name. It may have just had your team's name, or it may have just had baseball, basketball, what have you, champions for that year. And you got that, and you're like, yeah, praise God. Well, that's how it's going to be when we go before the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I want some rewards. Glory. If they're there, why not go for them? Do those things that are. And what's necessary is that you be the light. And what God has put on the inside of you, you let that shine. Because you're going to have people that are trying to shut it down. You have an adversary trying to shut it down, make life so miserable for you that you can't do anything. It's like a woe is me syndrome, and God hasn't called you to live a woe is me life. He said, I came that you can have life and have it more abundantly, and he's not just talking about when we get to glory. Amen? This is how we get so messed up in our walk with God, and we no longer enjoy it because we're not letting the light shine, and we're not letting the gift flow. The gift flows in adversity as well as in good times. Yeah. The gift of God on the inside of you, it doesn't, the conditions don't matter. The place doesn't matter. Well, you know, this is Antioch, and Antioch is hard ground. Or you say, well, it's Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is hard ground. Well, it's Richmond, and Richmond is hard ground. Well, it's Oakland. Oakland is hard. Everywhere is hard ground. That's why you're there to water the soil, break up the fallow ground, start sowing the seeds of righteousness, invite God into that region, that area, that God may move in that place. And don't give up until he moves. I believe that's what the prophet Hosea was saying. How long, if you will, until he rains down righteousness? Anybody listening to me? Hallelujah. You don't give up. We're not of those who give up. We're not of those who draw back. We press forward. And when adversity comes, we press harder. Amen. We don't retreat. Retreating is not in our DNA. It's not in our genes. We don't need a sabbatical. We're fighting the wrong fight if we need a sabbatical. Can you imagine Jesus? Dad, I need a sabbatical. What? You know that rest? Yeah. That rest is entering into me and letting me work through you. That's the rest. While you are alive, do kingdom business. Amen? Hallelujah. Otherwise, you'd be like a floater, floating all over the place. You know, it's like, no, enough of that stuff. Be steadfast, be immovable, and always abound in the work of God, knowing that your labor for God in Christ is not in vain. Amen? All right, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. How you doing, Brother Joseph? All right, we're excited for you. He went on an interview and had a good interview and you're getting ready to go on the next one, getting ready to do drug testing. You mind me sharing that? Okay. Getting ready for what? Drug testing now? Polygraph? Backgrounds? Psychological? And that's pretty much it? They usually don't go that far unless they really strongly considering already made their decision that you're one that's going to be in their department. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, church. Yeah. Amen. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Praise God. God's doing too many great things, and we got to engage. We got to engage. Hallelujah. Use that mouth for the glory of God. Use your gifts, talents, and abilities for the glory of God. Everything that you do, find a way to glorify Jesus. Well, they may fire you. Well, God may give you a better job making better money. Hallelujah, if they do that. If you are not intentional to get fired, but you're intentional to glorify God, yeah, hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. And we love what you're doing in our lives at this time and moment. And even as the bulletin, magnify the Lord. We magnify you. We exalt you. We make you bigger than our situation and circumstances. We make you bigger than our problems. We make you bigger than worries or fears. We magnify you, O God. With everything within us, we exalt your holy name. We thank you, Master, for all that you've done, everything that you're doing, what we've shared up until this point. We thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the saints of God that are here in this house, the men and women, the children, the youth, the young adults. Thank you for every ministry that we have that has been raised up in this place in order to minister to the people that you send our way. Thank you for every leader. Thank you for every member. Thank you, Father God, for everything that you've done. Thank you for your provision. Thank you, Father God, for what our future holds in you. Thank you for land. Thank you for building. Thank you for prosperity. Thank you for peace. Thank you for love. Thank you for zeal. Zeal for my Father's house hath eaten me up. Thank you, Master, for a desire to want to know you, a desire to want to grow, a desire to want to see the goodness and the glory of God. Thank you for that, Lord God. Thank you for victory. Thank you for raising us up, strengthening us with your power and might in our spirit, in our inner man. Thank you, Lord God, that when we are leaning to one side or the other side, you come in and you raise us up to be erect, standing straight, tall, and righteous for you. We pray for the spirit of boldness, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation and knowledge to come upon us as we seek to be not only the light that shines in the darkness, but an effective witness for you. And the sphere and influence, the sphere of influence that you give us, that realm, that arena, Lord God, that you have placed us in, that we may glorify you in word and in deed in all that we do. We just want to bring glory and honor to your name. And we do it out of love. We do it because you loved us first. And you're teaching us how to love you in return. Bless your sons and daughters. Those that came forward and had hands laid on them. What you released and imparted to their lives, Lord. Let it continue to grow and to develop and to mature. Whatever they came hungering for, whatever they came seeking, whatever they came for, if it was just to receive the touch of the Master, if it was just to receive the anointing, oh God, may their lives benefit and be blessed and grow and mature as a result and be used further for your glory. Let no life be the same. Let every life be changed into the image and likeness of Christ, which is the image and likeness of God. I bless each and every one that you brought in this place. I speak now that blessing that you told Aaron to speak over the people of Israel. I speak it over these, your sons and daughters, that the Lord our God bless you and keep you, and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, so that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you'll triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church, the body of Christ. Amen? Okay, now, if you desire, if you can take just a few moments, we will pass out communion. We will not have evening glory tonight. We won't be interceding tonight here. You can pray at your home or wherever you are. We'll resume next week for the glory of God. But if you would like to have communion, just please be seated. The ushers are going to pass out to you quickly. And we'll commune together as the family of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Brother Finn, you might want to help him out.